Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are moving on to season 2, episode 8 of Ted Lasso called Man City.
Yes, and we have our usual disclaimers, which are there will be cursing, there will be spoilers, we do stuff. I have moved on to, because there was cider involved in my last beverage, I have the remainder of that cider. It is Angry Orchard. God, I can't talk. Crisp apple cider. It's fall. It's the proper time. And so that's what I'm having. Are you still drinking tea?
I am.
But it's
iced. I'm having sweet tea.
Having sweet tea. And of course, you know, Ted probably doesn't approve of that either, but whatever.
Well, that's Ted's problem.
It is Ted's problem.
And he has many.
He does have many. He really does. This episode is interesting to me how it starts out. So you've got the doctor, and mm-hmm. she is on the phone with what sounds like another therapist or a family
it's
member.
It's her therapist.
It's her therapist, right? Therapist and she's basically, what?
She's a therapist who has a therapist.
Right. So she's on the phone with this other therapist to bitch about Ted.
Yeah, like she's like, okay, do you want to start with the notes from last session? It's like, okay. And she's like, Ted Lasso is driving me fucking crazy. Do you want to elaborate on that? And then she talks about it, and she says that Ted is still refusing to open up, but her therapist tells her that they're very alike. He uses humor to deflect while she uses her intelligence. And yeah. The therapist tells her basically that she needs to open up and meet Ted halfway for things to work. And on her way to the office on her bike, she gets hit by a car. So right. That's an interesting opening.
Right. So the phone rings and you know, the number, I guess the contact number that she has is for Ted. Mm-hmm. And Ted, you know, being, you know, this falls into like the Ted wheelhouse of things that he is comfortable doing. It's like, oh.
Make people feel better.
Right. Make people feel better, deal with injury, you know, those kinds of things. This is where, you know, Ted feels comfortable. And so he's going to respond to that. Mm-hmm.
Which we'll get to.
Right. Right. And so that is, you know, where he's like, all right, I've got to do this. And then we cut to Keely.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants Beard or Roy okay. to do this branding opportunity for her, and they're both like no.
No, actually they don't say anything. They I have a note about it because she asks if either one of them would be a spokesperson for a gig, but they both just look at her and she realizes that they don't want to, and she leaves. And Beard says, I respect that we didn't have to say a word. And then Roy says, she gets us.
Right.
But also, they're having, like, before Keely even walks in, they're just having a stare down, like, for no reason.
They're just being guys. Yeah. But Nate walks in and he's like, I get to do this branding opportunity. And they kind of like exchange looks like, yeah, you're a tool.
Ted isn't there yet because he had an emergency. And he didn't elaborate, and Beard didn't ask, and because it's his emergency. And Roy is going to be running practice, and Nate is really annoyed. But then Roy says Roy gets a call, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to be leaving now. And then Nate asks where he's going, and he's like, none of your fucking business. And Beard's like, yeah. And then Nate is now running practice because Beard doesn't care. Right. And Nate really does care, so it's like whatever.
Right. And so then after practice, Jamie gets a call and it shows on his phone that's from Dad. Mm-hmm. And we all know like he has this dreadful relationship with his father, and his father is a big Man City supporter. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of it. And then you juxtapose that with Sam is talking to his dad to thank him. Or I'm sorry, Sam's dad calls Sam to thank him for getting the oil company to stop drilling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they get off the phone, and then Sam gets a message on Banter.
Oh, actually, really quickly, there's this ongoing thing in this scene where Jamie is spotting Colin while he's lifting weights. And when Jamie hears the call, he's very jealous of Sam and his dad's relationship. So he kind of forgets to spot Colin, and the bar is stuck on Colin's throat, and he's just trying to like get off. And then he finally realizes, and he takes it off, and it's like, well, why didn't you say anything? It's like, it was on my throat. And then Sam decides to text the mystery girl and set up a time and place to meet, because he has this renewed sense of manpower. Purpose. I don't know.
Testosterone. There is a testosterone.
Yeah, testosterone. And then Rebecca is hesitant to say yes, but she does. And then the team's very excited for him. And
then Sam asks Isaac, and I love this, for a haircut. And you get the sense like this is like some ginormous deal.
And Isaac is like contemplating it, thinking, but now he's the one who's supposed to be spotting Colin, and he forgets. And so he's just like thinking about it, and Colin is just like struggling to get like move. And then once Isaac says yes, he finally realizes that Colin is choking again, and he gets it off of him. Oh, right. Poor Colin.
So then we go to the hospital, and Ted is picking up the doctor because she's had a concussion.
Yeah. And before she's wheeled in to the room, you just hear Ted saying, did you know Winnie the Pooh is based on a real bear from the London Zoo? And then as she's being wheeled in, she realizes it's him because of that. And she says, fuck me.
Right.
And then Ted sees her in a wheelchair because that's protocol. And he's just like, it's worse than I imagined. And then she gets up and he's just like, she can walk again. It's a miracle. Thank God for science.
Right. And so he's helping her. The nurses all assume that he is her husband. Mm-hmm. And so they say things like that. She's like, no. And he's like, let me help you on with your jacket, sweetheart. You know,
that kind of thing. Well, he's talking about the brain, potential brain injuries or whatever. And the doctor's kind of the actual doctor. Well, okay, that's not true. But the nurse is very impressed that he knows anything about them. And he's like, I watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy in my early 30s. And and then she has a few stitches, and they find out that the Sharon has a couple stitches and a concussion, but she's going to be fine. And then it's a hospital policy that she has to, that any people with head injuries has to be attended when they're released. And Ted says, ain't no policy like a hospital policy, because a hospital policy don't stop. And then they kind of are going back and forth on what they are to each other. Like, oh, we're friends. It's like colleagues, friendly colleagues, but not in a sad way. She's just fiercely independent. I love their banter.
Yeah, it really is funny. So we find out also why Roy had to leave practice, and he has been called to Phoebe's school because Phoebe has been cursing.
The teacher says, so Phoebe's dad, and then Roy's like, he's a piece of shit. And then she's like, oh, is he alive? And then he's just like, oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, he's a living piece of shit.
No, he also is like, Phoebe's been swearing a lot. And she called some other kid in the class an apathetic shit fucker.
Yeah, nice, Phoebe. That's a good one.
I can't imagine where she got it from, and everyone's like, fuck.
It takes him a second too, surprisingly. Yeah, he's like, wait. He kind of looks at the teacher, and she's like, yeah, maybe. And then he's just like, oh fuck. And then as they're leaving, the teacher basically wants Roy to use his influence on Phoebe to stop her from cursing. And Phoebe comes up and she's like, Uncle Roy, can we get ice cream? And he's like, fuck no. And he's like, sorry, F no.
and the teacher's like, well, she can't do that, whatever. And as soon as they leave, the teacher's like trying to get stuff off her hand. She's like, fucking glitter.
Yeah, it's always there. You also get the sense that the teacher's like into Roy a little bit. Which, yeah, I mean, definitely. You get that from like early on in the season with like her talking to him about like this girl's soccer team and all that stuff. But especially now she's making eyes at him, and then like she's like, oh, fucking glitter. And then kind of moves on. But I'm like,
you definitely get the sense that she's interested.
And we know why. I mean, it's Roy fucking Kent. But like,
he's here, he's there, he's every fucking where Roy Kent. Yeah.
And then
so
he, Ted and the doctor walking back, he's kindly holding her bike, which is kind of ruined now, but he's carrying it for her. And he basically, apparently the reason how he found out that she was in the hospital was because she was sending him voice memos, and he saved all of them. Yeah,
32.
And then she apparently sang Tonight from West Side Story, singing both.
Like, do you want to hear it?
I do in the car. Like, I mean, and he was like, apparently, and he was just like, I was very impressed.
apparently, you were very good. But yeah, he's like, do you want to hear it? You know, I've kept all of them.
She's like, I thought those automatically deleted. It's like, no, I saved all of them.
right. And so we cut then to the haircut situation with Isaac. And you know, there has to be this explanation for, maybe it's the Dutch guy. Like, it has to be explained, like, oh, Isaac will only give each member of the team one haircut per season. So you have to be very specific about when it is that you want it done. And Jamie's kind of like, what if it's bad? What if this date is bad? What if this woman is bad? What if you've only got textual chemistry?
That's great. He's doing well for me right now.
In this episode, he does really, really
well. But then the haircut is like kind of like a performance art kind of thing. And then one of the teammates says it's like Swan Lake.
Yes.
Just typing him up the entire time. And it's really funny, but also like whenever the new guy like interrupted him at the beginning, like Jamie was just like, shut the fuck up, this is really serious. I'm like, okay, Jamie, team player now. And then Jamie's dad is texts him and asks for tickets to the Wembley game against Manchester City. And then he goes to the storage closet, and that's now Higgins's office. I don't know what happened to the weight room, but apparently not. And also what happened to him like sharing with Nate? Like, I thought that was the plan, but
oh. Well, because Nate's a dick and kicked him out.
I don't blame him for going to a storage closet. And he sorts out the tickets for Jamie's dad, and Jamie doesn't really have a preference on where they sit. He just wants to get
I fucking don't care where they sit, but I love the names, and I didn't get the middle guy's name, but he needed three tickets, his dad, some dude, and someone named Bug. Does he have a last name? No, just Bug.
That's great.
Right. Yeah, you know. So then we have Roy and Phoebe eating ice cream in the car, which of course, oh no, we're not.
Of course he gave in.
Of course he gave in. Right. And so like he's trying to explain, look, swearing was part of my job as a footballer, but you can't become a teacher or a vet. And he asks her what she wants to be. She's like a wild animal.
A vet for wild animals.
If you swear all the time.
Which I don't get, because what do you do? Like, treat them in the woods? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, no one's going to hear you. And oh, by the way, if you get scratched by a tiger, like, duh, you're going to swear, I would think. So whatever. Or you can't move an elephant. Oh, fuck. You know, I can totally see swearing.
Either way, like, he tells her that he loves hanging out with her, but he's worried that he's becoming a bad influence because he never thought about himself, like, being built for kids. Like, okay, that sounds weird. But you know what I mean? Like, he's not really, he hasn't grown up in the environment where he would be kid friendly.
Yeah.
Like he's just not the type, but.
Well, and Phoebe, and then, you know, she's like, look, I called that boy a name because he, and my notes are weird. Like because he was behaving badly.
Well, he was being a bully, and she wants to stand up to bullies, and that's what she learned from Roy. But she went about it a different way. But she was like, "Well, I can stop swearing. I can stand up to bullies still, but I don't need to swear to do it." And he's like, "Great." And then she's like, "Well, we could both stop swearing together." And he's like, "Fuck no."
Right. And but you can do without swearing because you're better than me, is what he says. And then he's like, and she's like, "Let's play a game of Princess and Dragons." And he's like, can I be the dragon this time?
And she's like, and then she says no. And then he's like, fine, I will. Fine, we can, but you better fix the wand. I love that so much. I really wish they actually did a visual on that. That would have been fantastic.
I want that as an outtake somewhere. Like, you know,
I wanted it to be like an after credits kind of like, okay, this is Roy and Phoebe playing Princess and Dragon.
That would be so cool. Mm-hmm. So then you've got the doc and Ted offers the dog tea. He's like, can I make you some tea? And she's like, hell no. And all I've got is water and wine. It's only water. I'm sorry. The doctor offers him tea and he's like, hell no. And she's like, well, I only have water and wine. And he goes with water. And then he realizes, like, you know, she wants him gone, basically. Like, she just needs to be alone.
So he chugs the water and then is like, all right, you want me gone? I can go.
Yeah. But Rebecca, then we cut to the date. And Rebecca is at this, she's in a limo and they're kind of like circling the block at this fancy restaurant called Le Tucci. And Keely is FaceTiming her with, and she's got like a cosmetic mask on. And, you know, she's like, you need to go in. Cause Rebecca's like, I'm not sure I can do this. And she goes in and she's kind of like, you know, texting Keely, I think at this point. And Sam is at the bar and Sam says, oh, you look amazing or something like that. And
they compliment each other. And then
they do. She's like, oh, your hair. I love your haircut.
That's going to be a consistent thing where like everybody's going to compliment Sam's haircut, which it does look great. But also she's texting with Keely and then she's like, oh, she says, Sam's here, awkward. And then she's like, oh, see, Keely says hi. And he's just like, oh, hello. And all that stuff. And it's really awkward. And then Sam texts the mystery girl. Oh, I'm the one in the blue blazer or whatever. And then she reads it and she's like, oh, fuck no.
And then they realize it's each other and Rebecca's like, we can't do this. I'm your boss. And you're 20, right. You're 23. And he's like, I'm 21. She's like, oh God, you know,
I'm a pedophile. I ruined you.
And Sam's like, look, I'm hungry. Let's just still have dinner. It's not a date. Let's just have dinner. And I so love Sam in this situation, and I get where Rebecca's coming from, and you know, she's got a couple of things going on. She's got this like underlying thing of she doesn't want to be fucking Rupert, right? I mean, Rupert, like, who's a character from the Bible, you know, like going out with like people much younger, and she doesn't want a cougar, she doesn't want to do any of that. But as they sit there and
it goes well,
it goes really, really well. But anyway, so there's this song in the background, Loving Is Easy, You Have Me Fucked Up song, which I find hilarious. It's come up, I think, a couple of times in this. Mm-hmm. But they have great chemistry and it's really, really obvious that they get along so well. And that they show a montage of that dinner. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you've got Ted's job, and he's decided because of the concussion.
Can I take this one? Because there's a little like thing that I noticed, because again, I use the closed captions. The doctor is watching Lust Conquers All Stars. And then Ted calls her and says he'll check in on her every like couple of minutes, but change his voice to make things interesting. And that makes the doctor laugh. And he's just like, oh, I hear your laugh now. Ooh, that's what that sounds like.
Right, but he actually demonstrates the voice is like Kermit.
Yeah.
The guy from Sling Blade. I mean, he does them really well. It's great, great.
It's really impressive. And then Ted tries to, once she starts talking about how she's now scared to ride a bike at this point and her fear and all that stuff, he starts to compare fear. He's about to compare fear to underwear. And then she's just like, no, I don't want a pep talk. I just wanted to share my feelings. And so she's taking the first step in sharing how she feels. And she's hoping that's going to help him open up.
Yeah. And so they, then we cut to Sam and Rebecca, and he's taken Rebecca home. And he's like, look, we could go out again. And Rebecca's like, no. And I can't remember if she goes inside and then comes back out and they kiss.
No, they kiss first.
Yeah, they kiss. And they both really loved it. You can tell. Mm-hmm. And it's like, ooh. And then we cut to Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, it's the semifinal match.
Right.
So it's again, very important.
It's very important. Joke
about how Live Aid wasn't here. It was in the old Wembley Stadium.
Right. So this is not where Queen did their thing. But the actual pitch is huge. Mm-hmm. And it's the biggest pitch in the country. Apparently there's no uniform size for a pitch, which I didn't know either. And they talk about, like, you know, just Yeah, it's big. Because I think Ted was going to do one of those Hoosiers things. Well, if you measure it, it's just the same as any other basketball court. No, actually, Wembley.
That's actually not true.
is the biggest in the country. But as they're in there, Jamie, and of course, Jamie had played for Man City, you know, during that time when they beat Richmond. He starts yelling, Richmond, which is really great. And then it's match time. And
but the coaches are in like a little like booth together or whatever before the game, and they're nervous, and then they confess stuff to each other. Ted starts it off by saying that he's been having panic attacks, and that's why he left the game before. So he's being honest about that. Roy doesn't read the scouting reports because fuck that. Higgins messed up time zones, and so they didn't get one of the sweepers or whatever they wanted. And then Nate doesn't have spontaneous ideas, he just shares the ideas he's had for months. And Beard's been at Jane went to Jane's house one time and drank tea from the wrong pot and got high on mushrooms accidentally,
right? And he
went to a game like that,
yeah, high on mushrooms, yeah. And you know. Again, right before that, they had shown Jamie's dad, the Man City colors, and they're singing. And so the Man City players, or the players, the fans are all singing Blue Moon. And they're like showing their butts and all those things.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I think I just was ignoring it.
Yeah. And so the match proceeds, and it's going really, really badly. Richmond.
Also, Ted still doesn't understand the offside rule.
Right. But they're getting rulings against them. They're getting fouls called against them. Nate gets thrown out of the game for saying one of the referees is dickless. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards, they get tromped. I mean, they get completely.
Well, also, the other team scores again, so it's like 5-0, and Ted says, well, it is what it is, and Beard gets upset and falls over the barrier behind him.
He's like, I'm just done.
The sportscaster, the radio people we usually like see at all of these matches, compliments Sam's hair. Which I love.
I didn't even catch that, but like right at the end, at the end of the match, I should say, Sam's being interviewed about the game. Oh, this is really tough. Cause of course he's one of the team leaders now. And so he's the person, one of the people that they interview. Mm-hmm. And this is really tough, et cetera, et cetera. Jamie's dad comes into the locker room and he is laughing at the team, at the Richmond team.
Mm-hmm.
And he says just awful stuff to the team. He says awful stuff to Jamie in front of the team. And Jamie decks him, which I think is just fucking awesome.
He stands up for himself with his words. Like, he tells him not to speak to him like that. And then he punches him, and the Beard throws his dad like out, and literally and like
physically,
the dad hits his head on the door on the way out, and he's throwing them out. And it's all just really silent for a couple of moments. And then Roy comes up to Jamie and hugs him, and Jamie just breaks down crying, which, oh my God, I wrote in like all caps, I love it so much.
I did too. I mean, I probably got a little teary. It's totally possible.
Oh, I absolutely did. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I was feeling a lot, and it was just really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a powerful moment. And I think that was probably like the best moment, like for both of them. I think that they needed a moment where they were connecting on a personal level, and the fact that Roy was the one who approached him first about it, I think really does speak a lot about how far they both come as people.
Right.
And right. What really matters, rather than just like, they still have the petty rivalry kind of thing, but they, when it comes down to it, they both care.
Yeah. So then Ted leaves. Mm-hmm. And he calls the doctor, and he's in tears. And what he says is,
well, okay, first of all, apparently he got the doctor a new bike, which is very sweet.
Right. Like, you need to get back up on the bike, blah, blah, blah. But he tells her, it's like, look, he's in tears, and I'm in tears because my dad killed himself when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. I just want to tell you that. because, you know, that of course informs everything we know about Ted, and it is also something that they end up exploring as the season proceeds. Mm-hmm. Beard is having a crisis at this point, and he, you know, we don't often see him like have crises or have meltdowns or whatever, but he's like, I just need to walk. I just need to.
So he's not going with the team under the bus. He's just going to walk, and he's going to find his own way back because he just needs time to think. And then we go to Rebecca, who goes home and sees the clip of Sam doing the interview and is very moved by it. And she texts him using messages instead of the app, because there's no point in pretending anymore. And she asks him if he's around, and he gives her his address, and she's just like, okay, I'm going to go over there.
She opens the door,
and Sam's there, and she's like, why'd you send me your address? And he's like, for next time, which is cute, but it's still kind of weird, but we'll get into that.
And then, I don't find it creepy at all, but I know you do.
And then it's a great song in the background, which is Summer Only We Know. I really love that song. So,
yeah.
And then that's the end of the episode.
It is. It is. So my best part is actually Rebecca and Sam in this episode. And I know, I see your face. But I just find that is so very, very sweet. And I love Sam. I've got actually three best parts. I've got that. I've got Roy hugging Jamie. I think that is the best part for sure. And Ted finally, and I think what it took for him is that emotional connection with the doctor. Ted finally acknowledging that he has things that he needs to work on. Mm-hmm. And so those were my best parts. What were your best parts?
Roy hugging Jamie, obviously, because that's awesome. But just also Jamie, just in general, I feel like he went on a really good journey this episode with being pressured by his dad to get him the tickets in the first place, seeing what a loving father-son relationship could be with Sam, and even asking Higgins about his father-son relationship, his relationship with his father, and just seeing the different aspects of those kinds of things. And I think that it was a really good moment for Jamie, and I think that's really like one of his best moments for sure, maybe even the best for me. Ted and the doctor, I really loved their interactions in general, like especially like the voice memos and the whole hospital thing, and them opening up to each other, especially Ted at the end. I think it was a really good stride in there.
I agree with that. What was your worst part?
Well, maybe you should go first, because it's going to take me a minute to like talk about
mine. Okay. All right. So mine was Jamie's dad, which I think is pretty obvious. He's a fucking dick. And I just, you know, anybody who behaves that way, especially toward your child, like who does that shit? What a fucking asshole. And then also Higgins in the closets, like nobody puts Higgins in the corner. It's like, it just really bothered me that in this building with all these people, and Higgins is an integral part of this team and everything else, is they're allowing that to happen. Mm-hmm. And it bugged me, like, what the fuck? I mean, somebody needs to stand up for him. And I recognize that some of it is probably that Higgins doesn't stand up for himself, but it just felt wrong to me. And it bothered me. It's cute. It's funny, but I felt like it was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, obviously Jamie's dad is the worst part of this episode for sure. Cause Jesus Christ. But in parentheses, I put like a mixed feelings part, like, cause I don't know if it's necessarily my worst part or best part. It's definitely not my best part, but like, it's kind of just mixed feelings. Rebecca and Sam is a very interesting aspect of this season that I have very, very mixed feelings about. Cause on one hand, I love both of these characters, and I think they interact well together. I think that they have good chemistry. I think that their characters are compatible, but there are certain dynamics in their relationship that I can't look past without it feeling weird. And I think it's an interesting choice for them. And I know I've mentioned this as soon as it was like revealed that it was Sam, that it's the power dynamic in their relationship is seems a bit awkward, and also the age gap is a bit awkward. Not that, like, I don't know, it just, they even, the fact that they pointed it out as well, I mean, like, it's good that they pointed it out. A lot of there's plenty of shows that don't that kind of breeze past that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, there's plenty of TV shows that like romanticize certain kinds of relationships that shouldn't be. Not necessarily, this is a different dynamic than some of those, but it's like they point out the fact that, like, Rebecca's like, oh my god, I feel like a pedophile, oh my god, I'm grooming you, blah 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 blah. I'm like, well, if you feel that way, and if you feel like that's going to really hinder your relationship with him, working or otherwise, maybe you shouldn't do it. And I think that it's interesting that she acknowledges it and then just kind of throws it by the wayside, like, okay, whatever, I'm just gonna,
I don't read it that way, but you've got some more to say, so I'll let you finish and then we'll talk about it.
Well, I think that it's just, it's interesting that they wanted to, my problem is that they could have gone a lot of different ways with this, which you could have made anybody the mystery guy, but you went with Sam. And it's interesting because, again, they point out how in many ways it can be like seen as wrong, like a bad relationship or like an unequal relationship as far as power dynamics are concerned, but they don't, they acknowledge it, and then they're just kind of like, okay, well, we're just gonna keep,
I don't see it that way. I mean, I feel like by addressing it, by her especially, like, upfront saying, this is, you know, I have issues with this and you should too. Sam's an adult. And this is a choice that he actively makes. This is not a situation where he's uninformed. This is not a situation where he's just carried away by emotion, or like, you know, she slammed him up against a locker, you know, like, or whatever. This isn't that. Mm-hmm. This is a, you know, before they kiss or anything else, it is very clear who is who, what's what their roles are, and, you know, that this could create issues, and he wants to do it anyway. And I think that, you know, when you go into something with eyes wide open, I don't have an issue with it.
This is why it's mixed feelings for me, because yes, they're both aware of the situation and the how it could be seen from the outside and all that stuff, but
it's not just that. She knows how it can be seen from the inside too. And she's telling him, look, you might have a problem with this. And he's like, I want to do this. I want to see where this can go. Mm-hmm. And he's not a child.
I'm aware of that. It's just, it's still the fact that it's a boss and an employee, which is very relevant right now, given some of the news going on. But I think that it's just like, again, it's very mixed feelings for me, because yes, are they cute? Yes. But can I look past the fact that there's the fact that they can look past the age gap and all that stuff? That's fine. Good for them. But for me personally, just looking on the outside, this is just my bias. It's weird. It's weird for me.
And again, I think this, you know, some of it's generational, but some of it is also life experience, right? Like, I don't think that there is any relationship that I'm aware of where everybody's it's exactly equal.
No, I'm not saying
that they, right. I mean, but it's how you sound, like when you talk about, oh, well, you know, it's not an even power dynamic. Well, that's true in most relationships.
I was talking about the fact that she's his boss and the fact that she's also much older than him. She looks right. Fantastic, but that doesn't change the fact that that might present a problem for,
right, you know, right.
Does make it clear to him that that can't change. It's not going to change. But the power dynamics, as far as it being a boss and employee, is what is kind of holding me back. Like, right. Yeah, he's an adult. He can make his own decisions. He can date whoever he wants. That's fine as far as the age part is concerned. But the fact that it's still like an undisclosed workplace relationship kind of thing is kind of like, it could present.
Well, I mean, but this is the other thing. Like, any first date, are you going to disclose it to like the whole world? I'm going on a date with such and such a person. I mean, not that they knew either, but, you know, you talk about undisclosed. It's like, disclosed to whom? Disclosed to each other, it certainly is.
No, if it moves forward like it's going to, that's what I mean. not necessarily right now, it's just like later on. I don't know. It just, there are certain parts of their relationship. Yes, they are cute. I love both of these characters and they are cute together. I'm not denying that they are adorable. And I love what some of the lines that they say to each other. It's adorable. But, and again, I think the actors have great chemistry, but there are certain aspects of their relationship I can't look past without it making me feel a little bit uncomfortable. That's it. I'm not saying it's my worst part. I'm just saying it's something that bugs me a little bit. Jamie's dad is still the worst part.
Yeah, Jamie's dad just fucking sucks. He's terrible. Do you have any other worst parts?
No.
Okay. What? How did you grade this episode?
I gave it an A-. I mean, it's a great episode. And even the parts that are kind of iffy to me don't hold me back from giving it the grade that I think it deserves.
What right. So I had it as B+, A-, and I'm still kind of there with it. I agree. I think it's a really good episode. It's well written. It's got good structure. And it does also move the plot forward because, again, you know, all of these things have to do with, are they going to get it together, right? Mm-hmm. Are they as a team going to be able to move forward? And so I feel like this was a really well-constructed episode. But again, you know, one of the things about this episode is there's some fun stuff, but we're getting into very, very serious territory.
And, oh, we're getting there.
Yeah, we are definitely getting there. And it is going to be, you see that there's not just this offhand humor. And I'm glad they're not just trying to make it like comical, because I think you could push this into some sort of weird slapstick kind of thing. But I'm glad that they're not.
There's still funny parts, but it's like, it's balanced better.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So we've got to keep moving forward and see how things are going as the season progresses. And we will be back for season 2, episode 9 of Ted Lasso. And we hope you join us. And
cheers.